Kyle Wiedeye covers the Wizards for truthaboutit.net. He founded the ESPN-affiliated Wizards blog back in 2007. Still running strong. You can give Kyle a shout on Twitter at truth_about_it. A great source for Wizards insight, analysis, and with a good comedic twist on it. Kyle, thanks for taking the time, man. Glad to have you back on and talk some Wizards.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Corey. Always glad to talk about the local basketball team.
Yeah. Well, I guess just to get things started, Wizards start out 0-3, kind of stumble out of the gate a little bit after their loss last night to the Raptors in their home opener. A close game in the fourth quarter. Just curious, was this kind of how you expected the Wizards to start out, and I guess how their season would play out ultimately? I mean, what were you thinking for this season for the Wiz?
You know, the slow start is not a surprise considering you have a new coaching staff and 8 new players. But
yeah.
I can't say that I totally expected how things have transpired through the first 3 games. Granted, they played strong teams in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Memphis, and Toronto.
Right.
But especially going back to that first Hawks game, where they just really, you know, they were in it. It was a tightly contested game through 3 quarters, and yeah. I believe the Wizards gave up 33-19. They got outscored in the fourth quarter, and I believe Atlanta started the fourth on like a 20-2 run or something like that.
Yeah.
And what was most disconcerting is some of the body language. You know, not really contesting shots, hanging heads after turnovers, not even putting contact or, you know, to Dwight Howard to keep him from getting offensive boards. So it just seems to be that the body language and some of those basic things that you would not expect for, you know, from a team in the very first game of the season, so yeah. excited to make an impact under new coach. So that's the part that's been disappointing. And overall, I think what we've seen in spurts is that this team has a long way to go before they are considered a good defensive team, much less a very good defensive team.
Yeah, and you kind of alluded to it, right, because in that Hawks game, I believe the game was tied going into the fourth quarter, and then they ended up losing by 10-plus points. And then last night, Wiz were down, I think, by 8 or 10 at the start of the fourth. And then, I mean, it was a close game the whole fourth quarter. And that's kind of been one of the biggest storylines, is the late game struggles. I mean, are these things fixable? I mean, what does it come down to, just getting used to Scott Brooks's scheme and style of play? I mean, what do you think? Can you pinpoint exactly what's going on there?
I think these things are fixable. And you look at, you know, I thought coming into the season, having Brooks instead of Randy Whitman would make a big difference. Having the same starters you finished last season strongly with would make a difference, because they finished, I believe, 18-13 last season after trading for Marquise Morris. Mm-hmm. So I thought those would make a difference. You know, the late game struggles have been an issue. Even in the second game in Memphis, you know, they went into overtime, but they had an 8-point lead with about 4 minutes left, and then got outscored in overtime like 12-3 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think what they need is, you know, overall the offense is okay, but when it comes down to that crunch time and close games, they need more players who are good with the ball in their hands. And mm-hmm. you know, John Wall has been pretty good, and you saw last night against the Raptors, he really turned it on and just attacked the basket. He went 13-19 from the field, but 15 of those shots came at the rim, and all 13 makes came at the rim. So he's getting to the basket at will, but you know, Bradley Beal had another poor shooting game. He, you know, he had a hot start, scoring 7 points in the first 4 minutes, but then he ended up shooting 1-for-8 in the second half.
Right.
You know, Marquise Morris didn't have a good game, and he's a player who's capable of getting his own shot. He has a nice jump shot. He can take other guys in the post, but sometimes when he has the ball, the offense tends to just sort of watch. And then, you know, Gortat is good and he can score, but he must be established and fed. And the Wizards have been, you know, they generally do a good job of trying to get him going early, because if you get Gortat going early, he will work. He'll run the floor more. He'll work on the other end of the court.
But
they haven't been able to get him going late. And then just to cover the other offensive, the other starter on offense, Otto Porter, I think expectations are sort of low on what he can do offensively.
Yeah.
But I do notice that, you know, especially last night, he was getting into the lane more with, you know, with the actual ball and then finishing, you know, hitting, he hit a couple runners instead of just his normal game, which is, you know, cutting into the lane, receiving a pass or spotting up or getting sort of offensive rebounds. But, you know, overall, you know, between not having more support for Wall late in the game and then just poor bench play so far, I think that's led to a couple of these losses.
What have you seen out of Scott Brooks that's different than Randy Whitman in terms of style of play, scheme, all that kind of stuff?
I think much of the difference is more in Brooks' demeanor. Mm-hmm. He's said to be more of a player's coach who helps the player solve problems, while yeah. Randy Whitman was. He was more old school, gave a lot of tough love. I mean, Whitman was coached by Bobby Knight at Indiana in college, and so he's very much from that sort of school of thought. And sometimes Whitman would leave players to solve their own problems. There was an issue last season where, you know, players got into an argument over pick-and-roll coverage, and Whitman just, like, sort of, okay, you guys figure it out for yourselves. When you think, you know, at the NBA level, a good manager provides structure. Yeah. I think Brooks does that. I even, you know, observed last night where, you know, Gortat and John Wall weren't aligned with their pick and roll coverage at one point against Kyle Lowry, who hit a three-pointer.
Yeah.
They sort of started to discuss at midcourt, and Brooks came in and helped navigate that issue between those players. Also think Scott Brooks has he's more willing to play and develop younger players. He has that track record from Oklahoma City. You know, obviously, you know, he was part of the development for Westbrook and Durant and Harden. But even if you look at guys like Boston, Reggie Jackson, he helped develop their games. And I think that's something that the Wizards are looking to, you know, for him to do, especially with Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre.
Right.
And I think Brooks is a little bit more flexible with his lineup adjustments. Now, you know, leading into the last night's game, he sort of alluded that, you know, he's looking at different rotations, especially when it comes to the poor bench play, but it didn't seem like going into the game he was ready to do that yet. But then you saw, you know, in the first half, Trey Burke, the backup point guard, and Kelly Oubre really struggled. So in the second half, Brooks didn't hesitate to, you know, put Thomas Satoransky on the court and then go to some smaller lineups where you had three guards and then Otto Porter at the four. I'm still trying to, you know, get a hold of what a Scott Brooks offense looks like and how it's different from Randy Whitman's. I think everyone is, because, you know, in Oklahoma City, Brooks had Durant and Westbrook, and those are two guys you can look to more to score and perform in isolation. Yeah. And part of that, you know, was a little bit of knock against Brooks, where maybe they relied on Westbrook and Durant to score in ISOs too much. So I think people are still trying to navigate or observe what changes he brings to his offense, especially having sat out an entire season and he's gotten a chance to observe the game more and visit other teams and sort of maybe adjust his philosophy some.
You alluded to a couple of the new additions, Satoransky, Trey Burke, Andrew Nicholson, Jan Mahimi, still going to be out for a couple more weeks. All of them, there hasn't really been anyone who has performed well so far. I mean, again, it's a really small sample size of only three games, but who do you think of the new additions to this team via free agency or trade will have the biggest impact on this season going forward?
You know, I like Andrew Nicholson a lot. He's got some crafty post moves, and he can really be a stretch five. He did play the five spot some last night, and his ability to hit the three-point shot sort of reminds me of Sam Perkins, which, you know, I don't know if any of your listeners remember Sam Perkins, but Nicholson has this very old school game. Now, I'm not sure, you know, sometimes he's not as attuned to the defensive or rebounding concerns, but, you know, he's adequate in those areas. But I think he's a guy that, you know, Wizards fans will start to like. You know, Trey Burke has gotten off to a very rough start. He was a former lottery pick, and the Wizards got him for not much. You know, they got him for a second-round pick, but, you know, maybe the writing was on the wall and that, you know, he just really kept doing worse and worse in Utah. And ultimately, you know, the Jazz at some point last year acquired Shelvin Mack, who is a former Wizard second-round draft pick, and he sort of supplanted Burke in the rotation. So I think the issue with him is that Burke can score. I think he's a below-average defender, but overall I expected him to be able to run a team better. Yeah. And some of his turnovers last night were just like, I mean, it was like watching Eric Maynor all over again. Truly remember how disastrous the Eric Maynor was a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
And then you have Satoransky, who finally, you know, got some significant playing time.
Yeah.
Last night, you know, I really like his game. He's somebody our site has tracked for years because we've actually had a Czech correspondent, but that more goes back to the Jan Vesely days.
Yeah. right.
You know, Satoransky's a rookie, but he is 25 years old. The Wizards let him develop for several seasons over in Spain, which is, you know, that's probably the best pro league outside of the NBA in the world.
Yeah.
And he's just long and athletic and a smart and savvy player. He sees the court well. He doesn't miss box out assignments. He provides well-timed ball movement. Now, you know, his shot is still not very steady, even though that improved percentage-wise over Spain. And maybe his defense and strength are an issue, but I think that's just a matter of getting adjusted to the NBA game. You know, over in Europe, he is one of the most athletic players, and when coming to the NBA, his athleticism is more of an even plane. So that's something that you just have to get used to.
And then just one more for you, and this is an NBA-wide question. I know the Wizards are one of only a couple of teams who have only played three games. Most other teams have played at least four or five. So through the, you know, in this very early part of this young season, what has been kind of the biggest surprise to you outside of the Wizards across the NBA?
You know, I think people are surprised that Chicago's offense has performed so well, considering, you know, the big knock on them going into the season was you're putting, you know, some non-three-point shooters, especially in Wade and Rondo, together on the court with Jimmy Butler, who sort of, you know, people would assume he's taking over as alpha dog on the Bulls with Rose's departure, but you still have strong personalities in Wade and Rondo. But they've gotten off to a 3-0 start, and their offense actually looks pretty good. And, you know, so far they're fielding the second-best offensive rating in the league after Cleveland. So I think that's something that people have certainly been surprised by, but it, you know, really, if you look at the early standings, nothing else is too surprising. You see that, you know, the Spurs and Thunder are doing well. The Jazz, you know, they're 3-2 and beat the Spurs the other night. You know, people expected them to make some noise this year.
Right.
And then the Warriors, of course, they've had their struggles, but they're still 3-1. And that one loss, even though it was, you know, blowout to San Antonio on opening night, you gotta look at how. You got to give the Spurs a lot of credit and really, you know, look at how impressive Kawhi Leonard has been in the early going. It seems like, you know, he stepped his game up even more now that they can't rely on Tim Duncan anymore.
Yeah, I believe Kawhi Leonard is number one in PER so far this season, like by a pretty big margin too. So he's looking like a potential MVP candidate easily. All right, Kyle, there he is. Thanks for the time, man. Once again, you can check out his stuff at truthaboutit.net and on Twitter at truth_about_it. Love to do this again down the road.
Thanks a lot, Corey. I'd be glad to, man.